Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on? All right. Small crowds make lots of noise. We're here for the right reasons. I want to welcome you here this morning and tell you a couple of announcements. You are more than welcome to stay for breakfast afterwards. United Women of Faith have cooked up a good breakfast, and there's no charge for that. There's an offering plate in the back. If you brought an offering, we're not going to take one up during the service this morning. But if you'd like to leave one, the offering plate is back there. We will not be lighting the candles. I already lit them this morning. Richard and Dee were going to come in and do that, but they are both sick. So they bowed out and didn't want to spread their germs around. So we will have our prelude and quiet our hearts and minds as we prepare for this morning's service. I should tell you that I got a text from Pastor Lisa this morning, and she is here in spirit, no doubt. I want to read you a little goodie before we start the service. I found this on the internet, and it's entitled Easter Morning. If there had never been an Easter morn, a bird would sing, I guess, and somehow winter's gray would turn to gold and springtime's gentle dress. If there had never been a heavy stone rolled from an empty tomb, Perhaps the dew would still lie fragrantly upon a bough in bloom. I cannot say that truth and love would die if Easter came no more. I only know this morning brings me hope where there was none before. So one of the messages of Easter is hope. And if you'll join me, we'll have our opening song, our praise song, Morning Has Broken, on the screen, or number 145.
Peace or not.
Please be seated. Our call to worship this morning is going to be presented by Tom.
Good morning, and welcome this beautiful Easter morning. It's been a long 3 days. On Friday, we mourned the weight of the understanding that Christ was persecuted, punished, and pierced in the side, enduring pain, even to the point of death for our sins. Saturday, we waited. We lingered, allowed ourselves to be burdened, and remember the uncertainty disciples must surely have felt, as they too waited to understand what had taken place and what was to come. But today is Sunday. Today we celebrate. We rejoice. As Audrey Labor reminded us with her beautiful needlepoint, he is risen. He is alive. His death defeated. Our King was and is and forevermore be victorious. And well, today the celebration of life-altering, death-conquering, eternity-determining truth and evidence, and beautiful Easter flowers and feast and fellowship and questions arise. How do we fully live in Easter? In Paul's letter found in Romans 6, verses 5 through 11, helps point us to this answer. If we become united with Christ in death like his, certainly we will be united with him when he comes back to life as he did. We know that the person we used to be was crucified with him to put an end to sin in our bodies. Because of this, we are no longer slaves to sin. The person who has died has been freed from sin. If we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. For the death he died to sin. Once and for all, sin's power. But now he lives, and he lives for God. So, considering yourself dead to sin, but living for God in the power Jesus Christ gives you, how do we live with God? Like Friday, we must continuously mourn the weight of our sins that brought Jesus to Calvary. Sin is never small or simple, and the wages of sin is always death. By our own accord, we have destined for eternal separation from God. Like on Saturday, we remember often and with somber reflection the perfect life and sacrifice of our Savior. His life was blameless, not deserving death. He accepted, yet he approached the cross willingly. And like Sunday, we celebrate daily the truth that he gave, that the grave is beaten. He is risen indeed, and death no longer has domination over him. May our lives today and every day reflect the good news of Easter. Because Christ's resurrection, we too have new life.
Thank you, Tom. Not much better message there is than that one, for sure. Our opening hymn this morning is number 322, Up From the Grave He Arose, and it's on the screens also, and stand if you are able.
Jesus, my Savior, waiting there.
may be seated. I have a prayer that I'd like to share with you this morning, and we will follow that with everyone reciting the Lord's Prayer. We thank you for the beauty of this day, for the glorious message that all nature proclaims. The Easter lilies with their waxen throats eloquently singing the good news. The birds so early this morning, impatient to get in their song. Every flowering tree, shrub, and flaming bush, a living proclamation from you, O God. Open our hearts that we may hear it too. Lead us, we pray, to the grave that is empty, into the garden of the resurrection where we may meet our risen Lord. May we never again live as if he were dead. In your presence, restore our faith, our hope, and our joy. Grant to our spirits refreshment, rest, and peace. Maintain within our hearts an unruffled calm, an unbroken serenity that no storms of life shall ever be able to take from us. From this moment, O loving Christ, we ask you to go with us wherever we go. Be our companion in all that we do. And for this, the greatest of all gifts, we offer you our sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And John has a message for us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. He has risen. I would like to share with you my testimony into what he has done for me personally. Okay. Do I look nervous? Okay. I do have an addiction. Alcoholic, drugs, and all that mess, yes. And I would like to share my testimonial into what he had done for me, giving my will to him because I could not do it myself, not at all. Here we go. I am living with an addiction, or should I say addictions. Hi, my name is John, and yes, I too am a recovering alcoholic, a junkie. I write this so that others might find hope in their recovery. I say recovering for no one, not even me, is ever fully recovered. Let it be known, there are no absolutes in recovery. Once an alcoholic junkie, always an alcoholic junkie. I must never forget that. Nobody stays in the recovering stage unless the life they have created is more rewarding and satisfying than the one they have left behind. I have learned about social hopelessness, as it occurs when people have no better way to feel good about themselves than getting high. Addiction of every description becomes our vehicles that we aboard and in order to get other places. To gather information from my past and my present, I put them in this emotional process of change. And when I say emotional, believe me, it is very emotional. Instead of take, because that's what we do as alcoholic junkies, I found that I wanted to give back to the community, to society from which I have taken so much. I find giving back gave me purpose. Not having purpose opens the door to addiction, loneliness, isolation, anger, and so many other ugly emotions. I, John Calvin Prosser, have found an inner connection to a life form greater than my own. That life form is God. God is my purpose. I discovered discovered any individual's personal empowerment comes through that purpose, involvement in community and activities. I have become empowered through my higher power, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. I now have believed my... Yes, all right. Excuse me again. Have you ever wondered why animals herd? Well, that's easy. God. We feel safe when others are like us. A herd, if you will. I say that so you will know you're not alone. The end. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So, we have disciples of Christ in our church. Thanks, John, for being part of us. We appreciate that, and thanks for sharing that. I know that was emotional for you. Our choir is now going to sing, and they've chosen as their anthem, "Because He Lives." don't know about you, but I'm sitting here thinking, I'm glad I came this morning. Thank you, choir. That was really nice. You know, every year, when certain times, certain events roll around, we have certain customs, certain traditions, certain whatever. I think about birthdays. We always sing happy birthday. I always think about Christmas. Who doesn't know the night before Christmas? But Kevin's going to share a few words with you now from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, which we need not only hear on Easter sunrise morning, but we need to hear these words every day. So, Kevin, it's all yours.
Earlier the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in the place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she ran over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and saw and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And the beauty of that story is it's true. Patrick, he has a few things that he would like to share with us this morning also. I don't know if all of you know Patrick. His family is not new, but relatively new to the church. And they're a great addition, let me tell you that.
Everybody hear me okay? Okay, good. This thing quits on us, so I can always get loud myself. All right, so for many people, and ourselves, if we're not careful, Easter can just drift by us like a spring breeze. The kids will go out and do an Easter egg hunt, maybe some pictures with the Easter bunny, and that tends to be that. But the truth is that the bunnies, the eggs, everything else is much more than just connect to much more than just the coming of spring. It connects to the most consequential event in all of human history. A man who claimed to be the Son of God and who then backed up that claim with unprecedented wisdom and miraculous power was put to death, though he had committed no crime. But then he rose again to new life, eternal life, defeating the grave itself. And Jesus met with his disciples after he had risen, but the disciple Thomas was not with them at the time. And when he was told that Jesus was alive, he could not let himself believe it. In his grief over what had happened 2 days before, he had wrapped cynicism around his heart like a tourniquet to keep it from breaking further. John 20:25 tells us that Thomas had replied to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now Thomas had witnessed all the same miracles that the other ones had when Jesus was alive. He had seen him turn water to wine. He had seen him heal a man who had been lame for decades. He had seen him heal another man who had been blind from birth. Thomas was in the boat that night that Jesus walked on the water. Another time, when the wind and the waves instantly calmed, when Jesus had told them to stop, he was there. He had seen Jesus multiply loaves of bread and a couple of fish to feed thousands. And he had seen that more than once. But when the disciples had told him that Jesus had risen from the grave, it was too much for him. Sometime later, when Thomas was with all the other disciples, still clinging on to that skepticism, Jesus appeared in the room with them and said, "Peace be with you." And knowing that Thomas would need proof in order to believe what had happened, he told him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand out and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And in that moment, Thomas's doubts vanished. It became obvious to him once again who Jesus was, and Thomas fell and called him my Lord and my God. The message of Easter, the message of the entire Bible, is a bold declaration that God himself came to live among us as one of us. He lived a perfect life in full obedience to his Father God. He then died a brutal death on a Roman cross, taking on the punishment that we all deserve for our sins. 3 days later, his heart began to beat, breath flowed into his lungs, his eyes, which had closed in death, opened. He stood up from the slab of stone on which he had been laid and walked out of the grave, his whole body healed and strong. Jesus is alive and will never die again. If you find yourself doubting like Thomas did, wrestling with what had happened and thinking, "This can't possibly be true," Jesus invites you to take your doubts to him. Take that first step of faith. If you are truly open to believing and following God, he will knock down every obstacle that stands in your path. And there is good news for those who eventually come to a place where, like Thomas, they can say with confidence that Jesus is my Lord and my God. The message of Easter is that for all who believe, your sins have been forgiven. You have been redeemed. The barrier between you and God is removed. He welcomes you into his family. Very good news indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. We all have doubts. There are times when none of us, we all question our beliefs. But there are also times for Thomas, there are times for John, and there are times for you when you know that Christ is very real your life. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he met with the 11 remaining disciples. This is a little background again on what Patrick just told us. He finally got Thomas straightened around and told him to go to the world and preach the good news everywhere. John chapter 20, 19 through 21 reads, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood and said among them and said, as Patrick told you, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And more than 2,000 years later, we are still doing that. Around the world and here in this sanctuary this morning, we are still sharing the good news that Easter morning brings. Throughout the Old Testament, centuries before his birth, let alone his death, prophets in the Old Testament prophesied of the coming of the Messiah, a new king who would change the course of history and mankind forever. No, they did this with no postal service, no cell phones, no texts. Can you imagine? But somehow they got it done. Truly a miracle in itself. So let me share with you this morning three reasons why the message of Easter is such good news. First of all, Easter is good news because Jesus rose from the dead. Can you imagine trying to understand what that meant to the people of that time in history? Even the women who discovered the empty tomb and the disciples, they still struggled with that. Everyone must have known someone who died, and no one had ever returned to them before, except maybe as a result of a Jesus miracle or two. It all goes back to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, people began to die. And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." God did not originally create us to die. He created us to live and to love and to serve Him, to worship Him. God is the giver of life. He created the world and all living things and breathed into them the breath of life. What a phrase. He breathed into you the breath of life. I repeat, you were not created to die. So when we read here and know that Jesus rose from the dead, that is good news. It means that someone finally did it. Somebody beat death at its own game. Jesus stared death in the face, died, was buried, and rose, never to die again. And that was the message Jesus told his disciples to spread throughout the world. Are you a disciple of Jesus? And you know why that's true? You just heard John Prosser, 2,000 years later, say exactly the same thing. But wait. We're not done yet. The good news of Easter gets even better. The good news of Easter is not only that Jesus rose from the dead, but he rose from the dead for you. Romans 4:25 tells us that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That is an important part of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. But that good news of Jesus is not complete if we only focus on Jesus' death. That is important to understand because without justification, none of us would ever be saved. Righteousness, justification means that through Jesus Christ, God declares you righteous in his sight. It doesn't mean you've never sinned. Just as God took your sins and placed them on Jesus at the cross, so Jesus takes God takes Jesus' righteousness and places it on you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You do have some responsibility in this. Just think about it. When you approach God in worship or prayer, he accepts you in the same way he accepted Jesus. You are forgiven of your sins. You are righteous in his sight. That's good news. Better news. Let me make this analogy. I didn't think of this, but I wish I would have. Consider this. On Good Friday, God wrote you a personal check for the greatest amount in human history. He offered up his son on the cross for full payment for all the sins of humanity. 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, the check cleared. That's what the resurrection is all about. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, it shows that God accepted his sacrifice as was perfect and righteous. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God takes the righteousness of Christ and gives it to you. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. The better news is that Jesus rose from the dead for you and me. But wait, it gets better than better. We don't say good, good, or goodest. We say good, better, best. Here's the best part of the message this morning. Jesus was resurrected not for himself, but rather for you. Because he conquered death, so can you. Romans 6:5 tells us, if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And how do you become united with Christ? The Bible is very clear on this point. You must die to yourself and turn to God through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You must confess that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and did rise again. You must turn away from your sins and commit yourself to faith in him. And when you do those things, you are united with Christ by faith. And if you are united with him in his death, you will certainly also be reunited with him in his resurrection. I know all of you came here this morning individually with your own personal baggage, your own personal blessings, your own personal doubts, your own personal relationship with God. And all of you would say, I hope that life is good. The question is good good enough for you? Do you want, do you need to strive for better? Will you ever settle for anything but the best in your life? Are you still a work in progress? I hope the message of Easter brings you great joy and peace that comes with the knowledge that God has given you with the ability to conquer death. Let your faith guide you on your life journey and remember the best news you will ever hear. He is risen. And you're going to hear that news in one more form.
My chains are gone.
good news of Christ. We're going to sing about it one more time, our closing hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. We're singing only the first four verses. Please be seated for the benediction, Patrick.
Hear the good news which you have received, the good news in which you stand, the good news by which you are saved. Christ died for our sins. This is according to Scripture. He was buried, but on the third day he was raised. This is also according to Scripture. He appeared to Mary and to Peter. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to 500 others. This is the good news of Easter, the really good news. Christ died for our sins and is raised from the dead. Hallelujah and amen.
Put our thanks to Tom, Kevin, Patrick, John for helping me out this morning. It was our pleasure. We hope you get something good out of our service. We tried to feed your souls. Now we want to feed your bodies. If you'll join me in prayer, we'll say grace and go downstairs and have breakfast. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the food that we were about to receive. We thank you for those who volunteered to prepare it for us. And we ask, Lord, that we leave here this morning knowing that we are true disciples of a living God. We all pray that in Jesus' name, and we all say, He is risen. Amen.